And I'm going to ask, Bill, would you lead us, dear brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we just praise your name today. We thank you. We come together with joyful anticipation to what our pastor, Rabbi Craig, will have for us today. We thank you that you brought us together. We thank you that you have given us such freedom, and that you also supply us peace, and you're our refuge and our fortress as well.
Yes.
We thank you for all those kind of things. Thank you for bringing each one together today. We ask for a special blessing. We have Linda's mom here. We thank you for her.
Yes.
And for the youngest in the crowd here with Miranda, we praise your name for her recent baptism. We thank you for the things that you will bring to us. We ask that you open our ears and hearts, and that we would constantly be ready to serve you. We thank you for the position and the responsibility that you've given us. We look forward to some of the things, the challenges and the trials and tribulations
yes.
that you have for us, because we know that you will bring us through. We pray all these things in Yeshua's precious name. Amen, amen.
And Father Yahweh, we would also like to lift up Courtney to you on her feet.
Yes,
that you put your healing hands upon her, Lord, and give her peace and comfort. We ask those things in Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And Jan, too, we'll keep her in prayer. I'm really concerned about Jan.
My mom's doing real good.
Yeah, and then your mom.
Praise the Lord.
Oh,
you know, it's just like magically when they take her off of the meds, she gets better.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it does, you know, at times. Leah, do you have the Living Bible there?
Yes.
I'm going to have you do some reading. And what kind did you bring today? You brought our sacred name. Okay. We've got different translations. I brought the Moffat translation. How many of you have heard of the Moffat, James Moffat? A very fine translation. It was an early century translation by the scholar James Moffat. He was a scholar of the Bible, a Jewish scholar. And it's really probably one of the most unique, really based upon the ancient Greek manuscripts. Really goes into a lot of interesting thoughts here. But I'm going to share with you, our sermon today is on the potential of mankind. And what I mean by that is sons of Yahweh, sons and daughters of Yahweh. And, you know, it's just unbelievable what the Bible states. Not unbelievable, we believe, but it's just beyond our comprehension. I guess that's the best word to use. As to our potential and how Yahweh will use us, Yeshua by our side in the world to come, into the future, into eternity. You know, we're so limited now, you know, by our confounds of, you know, needing oxygen and certain foods to survive on. And, you know, our lifespan now is so short, even compared to ancient ones of the past. And so we're so limited, you know, you eat wrong and you're down sick immediately. You know, everything happens. Your bladder stops, your bowels stop. You know, just a vicious cycle. If we continue on a pathway of, you know, doing harm to our body. But then nothing will hinder us. Time will have no bearing on us. What we take in, if we take in food, whatever, will have no bearing on us. And oxygen will not even be in need of oxygen, technically speaking. So it's amazing. And the Apostle Paul, if he wrote the book of Hebrews, and most scholars have him probably as the author of Hebrews, says these interesting words out of the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read the fifth verse down to...
What chapter?
The second chapter of Hebrews. And you might want to listen some to this, and then I'm going to have Leah read it out of Living. Well, first of all, Leah, you read this out of the Living.
Okay.
Verse 5, Hebrews 2nd chapter, verse 5, and read 2 verse 8.
Verse 8?
Yes.
Okay. And the future were, And the future world we are talking about will not be controlled by angels. No, for the book of Psalms, David says to Yahweh, "What is mere man that you are so concerned about him? And who is the son of man you honor so highly? For though you made him lower than the angels for a little while, now you have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have put him in complete charge of everything there is. Nothing is left out."
I want you to jump to verse 14. Read 14 through 18.
14 through 18? Okay. "Since we, Yahweh's children, are human beings made of flesh and blood, he became flesh and blood too by being born in human form. For only a human being could he die, and in dying break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in that way could he deliver those through fear of death have been living all their lives as slaves to constant dread. We all know he did not come as an angel, but as a human being, yes, a Jew. And it was necessary for Yeshua to be like us, his brothers, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before Yahweh. A priest would be both merciful to us and faithful to Yahweh in dealing with the sins of the people."
Yeah. Is that beautiful?
Can we read verse 18 also?
Yes, 18, please.
"For since he himself has now been through suffering and temptation, he knows what it is like when we suffer and are tempted, and he is wonderfully able to help us."
Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful? Like Hebrews 5:8 says, "Thus, son Yeshua, though he, the son he was, he learned by all he suffered how to obey." That is so beautiful, Hebrews 5:8. This is the point here, see, is that Christ had to come, Yeshua had to come, the Messiah, as a full human being. The idea that he was half God, half man isn't backed by Scripture. He fully, as Ephesians states, divested himself, as Philippians states, divested himself of all heavenly power that he previously had. Remember, John 5:30 says, "What I say, what I do, the decisions I make has been given to me by the Father," John 5:30. All his power, you know, was given while he was on earth to him by the Father, meaning he had none of the divine qualities as before in regards to instituting his will upon the, you know, when he dealt with mankind. It was always as Yahweh wanted, directed through him. That's why he had to be a perfect human being. Now, there's a reason behind this, a deep reason, and most churches have totally failed to understand this. And that is that Adam was a perfect human being, as we all know. When Adam sinned, he lost his perfection.
Right.
And this is where sin enters in. Paul talks about this in Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered into the world. Thus, none of the offspring of Adam could redeem the rest of mankind, not even his own children, because they all inherited sin, which brings forth death.
Correct.
And so basically, it was why Yeshua had to come. This was all planned out by Yahweh, to give a perfect human life, notice, a perfect human life, equal value for that which Adam had lost. It just like I've said time after time again, everyone usually comes, is probably sick of hearing it, but I always give the illustration of the, you know, if someone sets a bond, let's say upon you, Chris, you know, you committed a crime, a bond is set upon you. Basically, if I'm going to get Chris out, you know, I've got to give them the exact amount of that bond. It can't be more. They won't accept it. Let's say your bond is $2,000. I can't walk in and say, "Well, thanks for treating Chris so good. I'm going to give you $2,500. They won't take it. Well, let's say they shouldn't take it, you know. And then you have the idea that I can't give him $1 less. That bond, you know, I have to give him exactly what the bond was set at. Well, that's the way with Yeshua. He couldn't be better than Adam. See, he had to be equal with Adam. A perfect human for a perfect human lost life. See, one given, one as one was taken away. And so Christ came in that manner. He suffered as a human being. He suffered. Don't think that I've always said, don't think Christ, I mean, Christ was evident, Yeshua was a very handsome man, probably. Probably he was very well built. He probably had short hair like most Jewish men did. He was raised up to 13 as a carpenter helper. You know, at 13, bar mitzvah occurred, 12 and a half actually under ancient Jewish laws, and they became a man. They could marry at that age, And so, he was tempted. Beautiful women probably in that day, everything else. See, as a boy, growing up and girlfriends. So he was tempted, same as any man. We want to think of Christ as never being tempted or just, this ray of him. But he had to live just like we live. See, that's the beauty of it. He had to live just like, so that he could then be our high priest later, saying, look, Father, I know what Craig's gone through. I know what Mark's gone through. I know how they're suffering. It may not all be right, but I know what they went through. And this is why I come here to plead the case for them. See, Satan's the prosecutor over here standing on the other side, constantly bringing our faults out, saying they're not worthy of nothing. She's not worthy of nothing. But Christ keeps coming in because he lived that life. See, he lived the human life. I want to emphasize that point. That's so important for us to understand. And so here in the latter part of this, let me read this out of the Moffat. For the world to come, notice, the world to come. We're not talking about this world. There's actually four worlds. There was pre-Adamic. There was a world from Adam to the Noetian flood. From the flood to present time, which takes in the time of Christ, and then the world to come. So you might say there's four worlds. We're in the third stage, but the world to come is ahead of us. That is the kingdom that we're looking so forward for and praying for. Now the kingdom is what we've prayed for since little children in the Lord's Prayer. And again, sad to say, most Christians have little concept of really what the Lord's Prayer is all about. When Christ walked this earth 2,000 years ago, he could have told us to pray for anything when the apostles asked him, what should we pray for? But he set down the model, as we know very well, the vindication of his Father's name, which is Yahweh. See, he's clear as can be. See, Yahweh, the Hebrew name of God, his Father. And he set down the second part of the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. And in the Greek, that means a government, a theocracy. If you look it up, kingdom means a theocracy. It's a literal government. Let your kingdom come. I always say, let your government come. Let your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. It's not speaking of heaven. It's speaking of his will being done on earth. And that is the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the millennium, which will actually be a government that will restore paradise to this earth. It'll bring about the wiping out of all contention, struggle of nations, of wars, the pestilences, the sicknesses. It'll bring peace to man. Every man will have his own dwelling and a place and a tree, figuratively speaking, for shade under. There'll be total peace upon the earth, among the nations even. Their weapons of war will have been mashed into instruments of peace. They, redone, just like you see cars being taken today all the time to be melted down, to be made into whatever. It'll be the same way then. There'll be total peace upon this earth. The lion, notice here, we know these are not heavenly conditions. The lion will lie down with the lamb, and a leopard with calves. And a little boy will put his hand on the hole of a poisonous snake. And there's not going to be any cobra or rattlesnake hit him and kill him. There'll be no harm done to him. These are earthly scenes. See, that's what I want to emphasize in this sermon. And I know you all know it, but I just wish it was out here more. See, the scene, because everyone just got the earth is somewhere burning up and that's gone forever. And everyone's going to be up above or either, down below. And that is so erroneous, that teaching. There's no purpose for the earth as they have it, see. We're judged immediately. There's no hope of the resurrection. What's the hope of the resurrection if we're going to be bang just like that? And see, it just defeats the whole doctrine of Scripture, see, what's being taught today at a lot of the pulpits. And so I wanted to share this with you. And here he speaks of this. He says, for the world to come of which I am speaking was not, notice, not under the control of angels. The world we live in now, as well as the past, have been under control of angels. Deuteronomy 32:8, out of the proper reading, the New Jerusalem speaks of it. The Living Bible speaks of it. Read 32:8, I believe, out of your Living, Deuteronomy 32:8. It shows that the world we're under now was under the charge of angels. Just as it says, the world to come is not put under the control of angels. Now it is, but it will not be. The kingdom will not be under the control of angels any longer.
You said
32:8. 32:8. See if yours reads. I think it's a Living.
When Yahweh divided up the world among the nations, he gave each of them a supervising angel.
Oh, beautiful. See? Now, your Bible will say, according to the sons of Israel, which the King James uses, this is the erroneous translation on this scripture. It was first erroneously given by the Catholic Douay in 1610. It was translated a year sooner than the King James in 1611. And with the Tyndale fragments he had, they translated sons of Israel. This is not correct. The correct translations, as the early Greek shows, was under the supervision of angels. And that is proven beyond a doubt in Daniel 10, verses 13 and 21, which shows that there were demon angels. Remember, let me share this with you in Daniel. Would you like to read that, Leah, for me? Daniel, the book of Daniel. The 10th chapter of Daniel.
So it's supposed to read according to the supervision.
Supervision of angels. Some translations read a little bit, but they use angels there. And this is, of course, this was a case where Daniel had said a prayer to Yahweh, remember? And 21 days had passed, and there was no answer to his prayer. This was a prophet of God, which immediately, you know, when he would ask, his prayer would be answered. But 21 days went by, not a sound from Yahweh or the angels. And notice here what happens here. Read that in verse, the 10th chapter of Daniel, verse 13.
Verse 13?
Yes.
Okay. But for 21 days, the mighty evil spirit who overrules the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the top officers of the heavenly army, came to help me, so that I was able to break through these spirit rulers of Persia.
Okay, isn't that Persian? It says here, I have left him to deal single-handedly with the guardian angels of the Persian kings. Showing there were more than one demon angel over Persia. This is a march of the world power. You know, first with Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. They've all had their demon angels over them. Although God's angels, as that verse says, 32:8, has been there too. So as you see, for God's Yahweh's will to be done with the march of the nations, his angels have constantly had to intercede, overwhelm the demon angel of that particular power to accomplish whatever will he wanted at that exact moment. That's very important to understand. There's a constant battle going in the heavens around us. They claim, in fact, when great catastrophes have hit the earth, like World War I, World War II, for example, it has been tremendous struggle in the heavens. That is what has brought about a lot of the controversy upon the earth and the weather conditions. There are tremendous battle scenes going on in the heavens. And I firmly, with all my heart, believe that. You know, the scriptures are very clear, just like here. It's talking about a battle scene here. Now notice here, he delivers a message to Daniel, and then in verse 20 through 21, he says, then he asked, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I must return to confront, notice, that means battle, the guardian angel of Persia. And when I am gone with that contest, the guardian angel of Greece will attack me. My only ally then against them is Michael, your own guardian angel. This reads better than any translation I've ever read on this particular verse. It shows that Greece is there to tackle him. The demon angel of Greece, which became the next world power. This was said 200 years before Greece became a world power. Persia remained as a world power. But the demon angel actually attacked the angel of God. Is It's probably Gabriel coming down. He fought 21 days with demon angels, and finally Michael, the guardian over Israel, came to aid him. Now he's going back, and he must fight again the demon angel of Persia, and then fight. The Greek word fight there, the Hebrew word fight there, if you look this up, means totally annihilate, consume. In fact, it had different meanings to it. It was very interesting. I wrote on this. You consume it like you would food. Simply consumed the demon angel of Persia. And then came the demon angel of Greece. And lo and behold, he had to fight him. See? But Michael would help him through. It just shows you this earth, why the Bible says Satan is the god of this earth. The system. Meaning the aeon. He's the God. And Paul mentions this at 2 Corinthians 4:4. Read that out of the Living Bible, Leah, if you will, for me. I'm doing that because your translation read perfect the message the other day. But this really gives you, our Bible say the God of this world, but I think that mentions Satan there, if I'm not mistaken. 2 Corinthians 4:4. How does your English read there, Mark?
The New English Translation says, among whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, so that they would not see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God.
Okay, that's what most translations read in the sense of, this is a paraphrase which breaks it down even. How does that read 2 Corinthians 4:4, Leah?
Satan, who is the god of this evil world, has made him blind, unable to see the glorious light of the gospel that is shining upon him, or to understand the amazing message we preach about the glory of Yeshua, who is Yahweh.
See, because the god of this world is speaking of Satan, so they rendered it right there, see. And so Satan blinds us to the, tries to blind all people, to all mankind, to the glorious gospel about Christ. And so this is so amazing because the prospects, you know, in fact, in Psalms, it speaks of, you know, David speaks of this in the second Psalm, the eighth Psalm, of the awesome potential that is in store for mankind. It actually staggers the imagination. David continued showing specifically that Yahweh has now placed in subjection under man the solid earth, the earth's atmosphere, the air, and the sea. In fact, in the Moffat translation at Hebrews 2:8, it speaks, the Bible renders the Greek word translated all things as a universe. Think of that. Man now, and let me just briefly tell you this, man now is under the angels, as we know, in power. That's evident by the march of world powers we just read there. Christ came as a man to understand the position, meaning so he could understand thoroughly the position that we were under, being under the authority of angels. He put himself under the authority. He was lower than the angels also when he was a man. That's why Satan, knowing this, moved upon Christ and attempted to have him killed many times and annihilate him on the cross. If he known Christ was coming and what was the outcome of the cross, the torture stake, he'd have fought to keep Christ off that torture stake, see. But the point about it is, he tried to eliminate Christ continuously as he eliminated Adam, see, and other of mankind. And so he realized that Yeshua didn't have the divine qualities he had before, you know, when he was up there as an archangel with Yeshua, who probably was the very creator with Yahweh of Lucifer, the morning star, before he ever turned evil. Because he evidently was the most powerful of all the archangels. He'd been sent to the earth with a third of God's angels, preparing the earth for the coming of man. Show what a blessed privilege he given to this archangel. But he knew now Christ was in human form, and if he was ever going to keep the kingdom which he was over the earth, he had to eliminate the one that was coming to defeat him. And what better way than in human form, see? But Christ did this so that he could intercede for us now as our high priest, see? Showing our inability at times to perform as we should, see? And stand up against the power of these demon angels. And so the Moffat translation correctly uses the word universe here. It uses the word universe, meaning all things are going to be subjected to man eventually in the world to come, meaning the whole universe will be. Think of this, the whole universe. I don't think any of us comprehend what the word universe really means. I don't think any of us can right now. First of all, let's look for what the scripture says here. 1 Corinthians 2, let's go to verse 9 and 10. And what other translations are we reading from here? Let me read that. What are you reading from, Chris?
NIV.
Read the NIV, see what that says there.
Corinthians 2, verse 9.
And
however,
10.
As it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him.
All
right. But God...
Go ahead.
But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit teaches all things, even the deep things in God.
Man. Now stop. What does that mean? That means this. When you were born with the spirit of man. On the Theocratic Ministry School Wednesday, I talked about this. We're all born. That's what goes back at death. Ecclesiastes 12:7. The spirit goes back to God. We return to dust. We have the spirit of man. But there's something very different about us from our neighbors over here. What is that? Being Christians, we have another spirit within us. Isn't that something? We're not one spirited human. We're two spirited humans. Because once we have given our life to Yeshua, say, Yahweh has drawn us to His Son, and we accept, we repent, we, you know, are baptized, have hands laid upon us, then we receive Harak HaKadosh in the Hebrew, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us, binding with the spirit of man.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thus giving us this ability to understand the deeper things of Yahweh, which the world just sort of scratches their head. Even the false pastors or ones who aren't fully have died to themselves or walking the ways, they scratch their head and they can't put the pieces together. That's like Satan. Satan knows this Bible backwards and forwards. I saw physical proof of this. Isn't that something? I saw physical proof of this as I was used, and I'm so grateful I was. It was a lesson for me I'll never forget, to miraculously expel a demon or demons out of two ministers. I won't go into the whole story of that. It takes too soon. You know, but the one minister, as he bent down on his knees, and I laid hands upon him, began to levitate off the floor and rock like a teeter-totter. I mean, there was tons of people watched it. Even some of my assistant pastors about fell over. And began to quote the Bible. He was quoting out of Matthew. And they turned to the Bible as he started to quote. Faster than that computer could ever do. I never heard such. He didn't miss one word, not one letter. Just like it was a, it was just like, you know, just, I guess that was Satan showing me this man had the knowledge, you know, the knowledge of Scripture. And I had never seen anything in my life like it. I mean, he spit the Bible out like, you know, just like, well, I've never seen anything. I've never seen a computer work that fast, anything. Okay? Showing Satan knows that Bible backwards and forwards, same as a lot of these ministers. But the fact is, understanding it, he doesn't. He can't put the pieces together. Only partially to deceive by. See? But he cannot, because he doesn't have a rock HaKadosh in him. See? He lost that a long time ago. He lost the Holy Spirit. And that's why he's Satan and devil now, a resister. See? He's a resister against Yahweh and Yeshua. And so it is truly amazing, you know, when we analyze what a blessing we have. So we have an imagination. Think how good I imagine. I had Heather, where she is today, she said Wednesday to me, remember, she says, I got a pretty good imagination, you know what I mean? And I think we all have things, you know, we dream about things we love, oh, how this would be or that. We've seen some beautiful things in our life, haven't we? Some of you have seen more than others because you've done more traveling. And we've heard some beautiful music and things. But even in our wildest imaginations, I emphasize wildest, I mean, most extreme imagination you could ever come across. Could we ever imagine the glories that await each one of us as sons of God and daughters? We can't imagine. We've never heard such glory. Think the myriads of angels singing and the glorious thunder of the power of Yahweh and Yeshua. We have never, ever seen anything that will compare to what we'll see in this new order to the world to come. The blessings of a lion. I may have a big lion sitting at my side and calves over here, or lambs. We have no idea what it's going to be like. Sharks, all kinds of creatures in the sea. We can, just like with a porpoise today, we can run up, we can swim up to them and there'll be no harm. Such peace. Huge animals where we'll have no fear of, see? And they'll have no fear of us. I see Miranda, when I said porpoises and fish, that's her world, the sea world. So, it's just amazing our potential here that is given here. The whole universe is ours. I want to share with you, I just had to look this up. Miranda helped me today get the books out. I just want to share with you, thank you, Annie, what the word is on galaxies, for instance. Galaxies is a system of star dust and gas held together by gravity. Galaxies are scattered throughout the universe. Galaxies range in diameter from a few thousand to a half a million light years. Think of that. There's no way we can comprehend that. A light year is the distance that light travels in a year, about 5.88 trillion miles. My gracious sakes, think of that. Think of that. Millions of those light years. It goes on, it says, large galaxies have more than a trillion stars. Small galaxies have fewer than a billion. Astronomers do not know how galaxies there are, how many there are. They are photographed. They have, though, photographed millions of galaxies. Think of this. Through the telescopes, and through this, they believe there are billions, not millions, billions of galaxies. Now, let me read for you under the universe. This is World Book. Universe consists of all matter, light, and other forms of radiation energy. It consists of everything that exists anywhere in space and time. The universe includes the Earth and everything on it. It also includes everything in the solar system. All the stars, of which the sun is one, are part of the universe. More than 100 billion stars are grouped in the shape of a giant circular galaxy called the Milky Way. And we can, through our telescopes, see three of them. The light year is a distance that travels in a year, about 5.88 trillion miles. Some studies of distant space with optical and radio telescopes indicate there are at least as many galaxies in the universe as there are stars in the Milky Way. Have you ever looked up at the sky at night, on a clear night? It's like a billion pins sticking up there, shining. Think, I'm telling you, it's amazing. Scientists do not know if the universe is of limited size. Most astronomers think that their bright and unusual objects or cool stars may be the most distant objects in the universe. They may be as far away as 10 billion light years from the Earth. There's your potential, brothers and sisters. You're sitting here right now on this couch. I'm sitting in a chair. We're sitting in chairs. Right now, as the book of Ephesians states, second chapter, Yahweh views us for accepting the blood of Christ, as Christ is our Savior, as now kings and priests. You are now, Chris, a king and priest. I can openly say this in the sight of Yahweh and Yeshua. There's no blasphemy there at all. Because he says that. Paul says that right there. You're a king and priest. Think of that. Although you're sitting, that's the Greek word, prolepis, which means It's already happened as far as Yahweh's concerned because of you accepting and giving your life to Yeshua. Okay? Did that bring, wow, brought a tear up my, chill up my back, see? That is the beauty of all of us as we've given our life to Christ. We're kings and priests. We're going to be over these billions of galaxies. Life has just started. During the thousand-year reign, Christ will take over his rule upon this earth. We will be kings and priests under him. Turn to Revelation 5:10. Who would like to read that for me? Revelation 5:10. Okay.
And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Yeah, I think. Made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's a thousand-year rule of Christ as he rules over this earth. In Revelation, let's see. Turn to the 314. It says, let's see. Trying to think of the exact scripture, 312 maybe. Read 3:12 for me, Lee, out of the living. 3:12? Revelation 3:12.
As for the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He will be secure and will go out no more. And I will write my God's name on him, and he will be a citizen in the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from my God, and he will have my new name inscribed upon him.
Now read verse 21.
Which verse is that?
That's
Revelation 3:12.
Revelation 3:12 and 3:21. Now read 21. This 21 is awesome. It shows how we'll rule with Christ, as Revelation 5:10 showed.
I will let everyone who conquers sit beside me on my throne, just as I took my place with my Father on his throne when I had conquered.
Okay. That's the earthly throne of David he's talking about, say. He's sitting now on Yahweh's throne in the high heavens. But there he will sit upon the earth over the throne of David, see. And the throne of David is an everlasting throne. And we will sit there with him as kings and priests. Our jurisdiction as young kings and priests will be upon this earth for 1,000 years. But my gracious, after that, there's no ending what our blessings will be. As mentioned, you know, it is so clear in Scripture that all things, the whole universe, has been placed under Christ and under our authority, see, as the Bible clearly showed there in the second chapter. Outer space, planets that are dead now. Now put this together with what is revealed in the 8th chapter of Romans. This is taken out of the book of the Mystery of the Ages. Here it speaks Christ as God's Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That's Romans 8:29. We're the firstborn among many brothers. Humans having God's Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, are heirs of Yahweh and joint heirs with Christ Yeshua, who alone of all humans have already been born as God's Son by the resurrection from the dead, Romans 1:4. He was brought out of that tomb after 72 hours in the grave. He is the first of the human family to be born into the family of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh. He is our pioneer who has gone on before, and we shall follow. Just as Christ returned to the earth in supreme power and glory, we will rule with him in supreme power and glory under Christ. Think of this. The 8th chapter of Romans verse 9 says, if we have within us the Holy Spirit of God, we are his begotten sons. Sons and daughters. Not Christians at all. We're sons and daughters. But verse 11 says that if we have God's Holy Spirit growing within and leading us, we shall be raised from the dead by his Spirit. That's a twinkling of an eye, the changing of us at death, see, the twinkling of an eye. Or if living when Christ comes, we shall be changed from mortal to immortal. See? That's why we will be on this earth as kings and priests in a mortal condition, looking just as Christ looked during the 40 days he walked the earth after his resurrection. Meaning we will look as human can be. Only you'll be perfect. Other humans you're dealing with then that have gone through Armageddon scene will be resurrected, you know, during this time period, the resurrections and children born. These ones basically will be able to communicate with us. You know, that we'll be able to eat with them. Although later you won't have to go to the restroom. You'll eat with them. You'll drink with them as Christ did. He ate with them. He ate fish with them. He drank with his apostles during those 40 days. Something very different, though. He showed the wounds he had. You know, you could, any way he wants to appear, he can appear, as we will be able to appear to them. He also, remember, in the garden right after he was resurrected, they didn't recognize him. He appeared as a gardener. See? And yet, on that same day, he says, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to the Father. Later that day, they're allowed to touch him. He'd already ascended above the heavens. These hundreds of billions of trillions of miles and galaxies, time, space, time had no bearing. It'll have no bearing with you. If someone locks the door, you'll walk right through the door. You know, but as Yeshua walked right through the door, closed door.
We won't have to worry about the price of gas?
Yeah, no price of gas. If someone gets a fancy in the millennium, you'll just put them up on a high tree and leave them there for a while. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, that'll be the day's punishment. See, so, I mean, it's amazing, you know. We laugh about these things, but, you know, we just, it's just amazing. These things, which seem totally unbelievable to us, then will just be a common occurrence. Aww. Yahweh says, Lana, I want you up in the high heavens. And just this day, the message is given to you by one of the other kings, and suddenly you will rise immediately into the high heavens. And you'll be back a few hours later, what we call now term an hour. You know, you'll be back with instructions. Okay? But and later on, you might be over galaxies that are hundreds of billions of miles away, forming life again, human life again, and starting the whole cycle of repopulating the galaxies. We know that this was God's original intent in the beginning. In Genesis 1:1, it says, you know, that in the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens in stages. I'm using the Fenton translation, which is correct. He created the heavens in stages, and then he created the earth. Last thing. Why? Because the earth was the most unique planet in all the hundreds of billions or trillions of galaxies. Because the earth was going to be finally the throne of Yahweh, that's where New Jerusalem will come down. It was going to be where God would have his family stationed, and they would be developed and grow, okay? And no ending to this gorgeous scene, till Satan came along, you know, and caused an interruption in this. But we know that, we know also that before Adam, a gigantic war was fought as Satan rose up to take the heavens. As clear in Scripture, he was cast down. From the north now, this is very interesting in our own galaxy. We know there is patterns and it's beyond that, but we can't see. From the north, in our direction, there is a pattern astronomers say that is totally dead coming in from the north. These are where the black holes are, the dark holes, whatever they want to call them. Dead planets, this is probably why Venus is gas, Mars is gas. These were gorgeous planets in the beginning as the Earth was. Even the Earth, the surface was destroyed. Remember when Adam gets ready to be made then, the Earth is already, you know, it's covered with water. That was called the first flood. No one ever thinks about that. There was Genesis 1:2. A great catastrophe happened from Genesis 1:1 to 1:2, which calls the Earth, you know, it says, the word create there in one means perfect. Everything was created. The heavens in stages, earth was perfect. Verse 2, you look at the earth, it was void, waste, chaotic conditions, covered with water. Because it too had taken a toll from this rebellion of a demon angels, see, and of Satan. And so basically, you know, this whole concept is, you know, that we will be over and rule over these galaxies as was originally intended by Yahweh, see, in the beginning. It says, for instance, Revised Standard Version, Romans 8, 14, 18, for the creation waits for eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation, all the suns, planets, stars, and moons are subject to fidelity, not of its own notice, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation, stars, suns, moons, now in decay, just like Venus and Mars and all these in our own galaxy, and futility, have been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we spirit-begotten humans, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, very few now, being called to salvation, the first fruits groan inwardly as we wait for our birth as sons. Isn't that something? Sons and daughters. We groan. Look at your body. Every day it's a pain here and a pain there, see? We grow old. You know, we start to fall apart. We're groaning. Well, not only us, but the animal kingdom. Look what's happened to the poor animal kingdom. Look what vegetation upon this earth. The sea world of pollution. Look then beyond that into the galaxies themselves, the dead conditions, black holes, everything else. The whole universe is like a woman in pain, travail, you know, in labor pains. And when God finally makes that, brings about all this, you know, through his plan of the coming of God's kingdom, this will all come to a screeching halt. And boy, how the heavens will rejoice, see? And after that thousand reign, which is just, you know, we don't view it as time as we'll view it, you know, as we view it now, but that we will be sent out to spread the whole family of Yahweh throughout the universe. The whole universe will be the glory of Yahweh. He will come down and the earth itself will be the center of the whole universe, which we know it is. It's a center. Jewish sages have said that a long time ago, you know, talking about this, how this is the center, basically. And so, you know, it's just amazing in the 29th chapter of Romans. In fact, it says, from now again, from verse 19, the creation awaits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. This will happen after the time of resurrection, when those who are human actually become, in this instant change from mortal to spirit, as sons of God. That's why at the end of the thousand reign, Yahweh can come down. Because flesh and blood cannot see God. See? We must all be in that spirit glorified body at the end of that thousand year reign. We will all have been changed, see. We will still be in a glorified human form, but not where we could not see God. You know, John 5:37 says, no man has seen God nor his form or heard his voice. Meaning Yahweh himself. See? Then mankind will abode. He will abode with us. He will make his abode with us.
What was the last scripture, Romans?
Romans 8:19. It's all the whole book of Romans, 8th chapter, well worth reading. It's so awesome. In fact, the entire universe will be renewed. And this is so beautiful because creation itself, the universe not now capable of sustaining life, will be set free from the bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God, as it's brought out here. It says, and this, of course, speaks of the, you know, what caused it originally was the rebellion of Satan and his angels. We see the angels inhabited the earth prior to the creation of man. This was the kingdom Satan had been given him. It wasn't Satan, it was, you know, son of the morning star, as Isaiah stated. It was an archangel, probably cherubim rank, which had been given the third of God's angels control to finish out the earth. And I always liken it to this. The earth was created perfect, wasn't it? We know that by the word bara. How many of you have been over to Vegas, New Mexico? Okay. How many of you come from the Midwest, have seen the homes in the Midwest and country towns and so forth? We all have. You'll notice, the same in Alabama and so forth, you've got gorgeous old Victorian-style homes. And what I mean by that is, especially Vegas over here, the old railroading town, you have gorgeous homes with such detail on the porches, inside on the woodwork, it's unbelievable. In fact, I've had I've had carpenters tell me there's no way under God's sun they could ever duplicate what had been duplicated in those homes. They wouldn't know how. Because finishing carpenters had come in there after the structure of the home was built and just did beautiful carvings, porch work, everything on those homes. I just amazed when I look at them. I still am amazed. Go back to Illinois, Indiana, you see it, see. That's what Satan was. He was a finishing carpenter, I always say. He's like a finishing, was sent with a third of God's angels to finish out the beauty of the earth for the coming of the family of Yahweh. He just got it in his head, though. He wasn't going to, why should I share this beauty with what God calls his sons and daughters? And that's where the rebellion started, see, and the delay to what will eventually occur, see. And so it's astonishing. The entire universe will be renewed. This is the billions of galaxies. Because from the north, I don't care how many hundreds of billions of miles away, or galaxies away, light years, Satan was fought all the way back down to the earth with his demon angels. It's sort of like those old movies, Battlestar Galactica, you know, and Star Wars, and some of the scenes you see, Dark Invader, you know, like the balloons today, they've got Dark Invader out of Albuquerque, you know, going up. That kind of war has occurred, see. And it just is amazing, you know, the results of that war, the damage done to our universe, and especially we see around this vicinity of the Earth, see, through the dead holes, of black holes, dead planets, and the condition of some of the planets. In fact, continuing this passage of Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation universe, that it has been groaning and traveling together until now. And here's an interesting scenario they make in this translation. It says, consider that the creation is compared to a mother about to make delivery of her child. Boy, you all mothers have gone through this. The creation is pictured as groaning in travail and hope, verse 20, awaiting the birth by resurrection to immortality of the children of God. It is as if creation is the mother and God is the father. Anyway, the whole thrust of the passage is that when we converted humans are born of God, then having the power and glory of Yahweh, we are going to do as God did when the earth had been laid waste and empty. Hebrew Torah and Boa. Genesis 1:2. Christ, who renewed the face of the earth, Psalms 104:30, was renewing what had been destroyed by the rebellion of sinning angels. Well, these wonderful passages implied and indicate goes far beyond the amount specifically revealed. This passage indicates precisely what all astronomers and scientific evidence indicate. The suns are as balls of fire giving out light and heat, but the planets except for the earth are in a state of death and decay and futility. Not forever, waiting until converted humans are born of the children of God, born into the divine family of Yahweh, forming the kingdom of God. Yeshua's gospel was the kingdom of Yahweh. What I am showing you here is that Christ's gospel, the kingdom, actually includes all this knowledge that has been revealed. Even the whole universe is going to be ruled by us. Isn't that amazing? The whole universe is going to be ruled by us. Going right back to Hebrews, the second chapter. Who with Yahweh the Father and Yeshua, become the kingdom of God. See, this is when the kingdom will have the full power given to it. Put all together, all these scriptures, it says, it's hard to grasp the incredible human potential. Our potential is to be born into the family of God, receiving total power. We are to be given jurisdiction over the entire universe. What are we going to do then? The scripture indicates we shall impart life. Oh, I love this part here. I want to read this to you. We shall impart life to billions and billions of dead planets, as life has been imparted to this earth. We shall create as Yahweh directs and instructs. We shall, through all eternity, Revelation 21:22, show there will be no pain, no suffering, no evil, because we shall have learned to choose Yahweh's way of good. It'll be an eternal life of accomplishment, constantly looking forward to super joyous anticipation in new creative projects, and still looking back on the accomplishments with happiness and joy over what shall have been already accomplished. That's sure different than the scenes of running around in heaven with a harp for eternity, and it shows we're going to be constantly working and as kings and priests in the heavens, over multitude of angels that will be assisting us and bringing life to billions of planets. All types of life. It's just amazing. In fact, the earth will become universal headquarters. Finally, even Yahweh the Father will come down to this earth, and his throne will be over the whole universe. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15:24, after speaking of the various resurrections that is recorded, then cometh the end, then he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. In fact, let's read that scripture. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. Leah, would you read that out of Living? 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 24 through 28. Even Christ comes under the subjection of his Father, Yahweh. Starting with verse 24, 1 Corinthians 15:24-28.
After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to Yahweh, the Father, having put down all enemies of every kind. For Yeshua will be king until he has defeated all his enemies, including the last enemy, death. This too must be defeated and ended. For the rule and authority over all things have been given to Yeshua by his Father, except, of course, Yeshua does not rule over the Father himself, who gave him this power to rule. When Yeshua has finally won the battle against all his enemies, then he, the Son of Yahweh, will put himself also under his Father's orders, so that Yahweh, who has given him the victory over everything else, will be utterly supreme.
Wow, isn't that awesome? What a time that will be. And we will have ruled with Christ as kings and priests for that full 1,000 years. Think of that. We will be there seeing the miracles that have occurred during that millennium. The lion lying with the lamb and all these conditions existing. And then our work will just have begun, really. Okay. Yahweh will come down, and Christ will hand the kingdom that's at the end of the millennium over to his Father. And the New Jerusalem, that is New Jerusalem coming down, this will be the center of the whole universe. From there, we will be sent out. We will come back constantly, but we will be sent out over our jurisdictions. We will have our kingdoms on these planets, see, to rule over and to bring forth life. Our angels will be with us. You know, it's just going to be till the whole universe is filled with the knowledge of Yahweh and Yeshua. Okay? And the glories will continue on forever. Forever. See? With God's master plan of 7,000 years finally completed at the end of that millennium, the mystery of the ages finally are revealed with the recreating of the vast universe and eternity lying ahead. We come finally to the beginning. Isn't that beautiful? To the beginning. Listen, brothers and sisters, our life's just almost an infancy stage. We've just started. I don't care how old you are. I'll tell people at the Living Center, the nursing home, I said, you're here in all kinds of conditions, in these wheelchairs and all kinds of conditions. I said, listen, don't look on your life ending. It's just, you've given your life to Christ, you're just beginning. These things we go through now are but for a moment. And the glories that await us will so surpass any trials we've gone through. And we're being molded just like Christ went through those trials upon earth. See, he learned through the trials he faced obedience, as we are learning obedience through the trials we face. There's just no end to the glories that await us. I'm telling you, I think we're all like Lot at Sodom and Gomorrah and Abraham, and, you know, in the valley there when the angels came up to him, and one was Yeshua. We're crying out for relief. We're crying out for relief. We feel it every day. I feel it. I know you feel it. It's every kind of blow imaginable now. Satan's main purpose, and I talked about this Wednesday and last Saturday, is to take us out of focus as to what we just talked about now. You see why I wanted so many people here today? Sad to say we don't have them. But these are talks that, you know, thank goodness maybe it got my old foghorn voice recorded here. But, you know, it's just the idea that so much potential is there for us. And the blessings that lie ahead for us is beyond description in human form. Yahweh knows what they are in Yeshua, see? and they await us, see? They await us to run that race to the finish, see? To run it to the finish. And so, you know, Satan will try everything possible to take us out of focus, to narrow this whole scope of what we talked about down to, oh, how can I face another day? I can't go on another day, see? My wife's left me. My husband's left me. My children, what can I do without my children? They should never have died before in this wreck before me. See? Just one catastrophe after another Satan tries to bring upon us. Financial club. I've worked all my life. What are we going to do? Our retirement's been taken. You know, this and that. Believe me, those words have been said recently. Satan just bang, bang, bang. Okay. Even the demon angels are working overtime. There's two words there. One of them was incubus and another, I forget. Seculus. Yeah, it's a male and demon angels. They appear actually in form of women and men. They're taking out everyone they can now. They're appearing before men to break their marriages. They're appearing to children. Children, like I said before, 8 or 9 year old children, younger, can have the speak as if it was a 22-year-old woman coming at a man, see? They can possess children. They can do different things to entice and to draw. And you're seeing this constantly. Pornography, everything else. Marriages breaking up left and right because of the efforts of Satan on those who have only the spirit of man within them, see, and not the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh. Yes, they come at us too. Don't think we're immune. But we have the power in the long run through the blood of Yeshua and in His name to overcome any attack of Satan that comes against us.
Hallelujah.
That's not right, but it's
and cool. Isn't it sad most Christians have not the vaguest idea of that power, see? And so it's because it's not been taught to them from the pulpit, neither have they read from Scripture, see? Is it any wonder Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge."
No.
We willfully bring on a lack of knowledge upon ourselves, so many do, that causes all this to just never come into focus. So that we are then brought down to the focus of grim and destruction and, you know, depression, see, as the world is. That's why there's so many divorces, collapse of families. There's so many suicides, even among children. See? The gay lifestyles, the homosexuals, everything. Just literally darkness everywhere around, just like Lot crying out in Sodom and Gomorrah for the coming of, you know, for something to be done. That's the way we are now. But we can rejoice now. Christ says, keep that head raised erect. Look upward, because your deliverance is drawing near. And believe me, that's the way it is going to be for us. I'll tell you, I hope I have you guys next to me in one of the billion of galaxies so we can visit. Lord knows what it's going to be like, but it's going to be interesting, isn't it?
I'll be there in a second.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So I hope you enjoyed this today. I enjoyed giving it. I may give this again to those missing. I think you could all sit through this again, couldn't you?
Absolutely.
Something like this. So I just, I really... You know, as a shepherd, it gets tough at times because I prepare for a lot of this and then things happen. I know we just don't sometimes have what I'd like to see. Not that I'm interested in numbers, but I know that the more that here, that's just further feeding of them, you know, which maybe I won't be able to get it back to them. Or, you know, who knows what'll happen. But I love you all and so grateful to have you. So grateful to have you, sister, with us. It's a real blessing to have you. I've been looking forward to meeting you. And so, any further questions on anything you want to express before we close in prayer?
It's so wonderful. All the animals like they've gone extinct, and that they'll all the be back. Environmentalists all worry about and save them, save that. They're in Yahweh's hands, and they're all back.
And you'll be recreating this. I mean, you'll be doing the same creation. So He'll be giving you that power. See, it's just like I have a brother who died before me and a brother who died after me. You know, I never got to see them when it's stillborn birth deaths.
Me too.
I was the only one that survived. You too.
His name is Lawrence.
We'll see those. They'll
he
be with
born,
us.
He was born dead.
Can you imagine a brother walking up to a sister and putting their arms around you and saying, "Sis, it's me. Her brother, it's me." Boy, I look forward to that day. I've often thought, but you know, it's just, These such glorious things await us, see, now. So don't you know, let's all edify one another. Let's build one another up. Let's be there for one another, because I'm telling you, the times are going to get, we think they're rough now. We've seen nothing yet. They're going to be much rougher. And so just keep our prayers up. Keep trusting in Yahweh Yeshua, because as Isaiah 49 states, our lives are within the palms of God's hands. Isn't that beautiful? The palms. I tell the old folks that live, I said, take your palms and put them together, look down at them. I said, this is the way Yahweh looks at you. You're in the palm of his hand. And nothing's going to get you out of the palm of his hand, see? You're safe. Okay. So let's all stand and we'll ask the final blessing.
Got to start moving here.
Got your circulation back.
Yeah, right.
Chris, can I have you lead us in prayer, dear brother?
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. Father God, we just praise you and we glorify your name. And we thank you for the words that we've heard today and the excitement that it creates in each and every one of us of the future that you hold for us, Lord. And we just thank you for all. I just thank you for each person here today, Lord, and just ask for your special blessings on each and every one. Go with us as we leave. Keep our minds set on you, Lord, and know that as long as we stay under your umbrella, that what you have in store for us is just ahead. We thank you until we can all meet again. In the wonderful name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yes, sir.
Good to see you again.
So wonderful. And you.